Hey guys, Meg Burridge here, your host of the Kajabiverse podcast and also a Kajabi coach and launch strategist who combines her love of all things Kajabi and digital marketing with family and adventure. I'm an Aussie mum to three young kids, married to a Dutchman and currently living on Anguilla in the Caribbean. I leap out of bed every morning to help others achieve the online success, freedom and flexibility that I am so grateful to have in my own life. In this podcast, we look deep beneath the surface at how some of the most successful Kajabi heroes, the superheroes, if you will, are generating six and seven figures annually and how their strategies can be applied within your online business. This is the Kajabiverse podcast. You're listening to the Kajabiverse podcast, and today's episode is all about taking the overwhelm out of launching with a simplified approach to beta launching, even when you're just starting out with zero audience. Now, there are a million courses out there teaching us various launch strategies and funnels. In fact, I teach funnels to my own students, but a lot of those techniques are quite advanced. You might come to love them like I do in time, but if for right now you just want to keep things simple and complexity-free, then a small beta that you feel using just real conversations with a select few people might be just the solution. Joining us in today's episode to give some insight into how he goes about beta launching is the lovely Joey Ragona from Strategic Business Academy. Joey teaches the beta launch technique to his own students inside of his Atlas program. And today he's sharing with us a good dose of reality that might be just what you needed to hear. For those people who are listening in to this episode who are brand new to Joey Ragona's world, I mean, like, firstly, shame on you. But apart from that, can you give us a little rundown of what it is you're up to and who it is that you help?
Well, that's a big question. I guess most of the time I am helping heart-centered change makers, usually coaches and practitioners who are online, who are already kind of in the weeds. They've tried something, hasn't really worked for them. They've hit the dip. They've crashed. They don't know where to go. They're not ready to give up because, as you know, some people want to give up when things don't go right. But these are, like I said, change makers. They have a mission, and now they need specific guidance to remove all of the overwhelm, complexities, and all that thing. And I just make everything simple for them and help them 10x their business really, really quickly without any overwhelm whatsoever. Like, in terms of, when I say overwhelm, exhausting launches, emails, and all that stuff, automations that we all love to do, but we think that it needs to be in place now. So I hope that gives you an idea of like who those people are.
Now, obviously, we're chatting on the Kajabiverse podcast, but the people that you help in your world, they're not necessarily Kajabi users. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. Most of them are, because those are the words I hang out with. But yeah, they're just online entrepreneurs. Most of them are using Kajabi though.
Okay. And then your program itself, would you call it a membership?
Not necessarily, because when we're talking specifically about Atlas, which is the cohorts, they're constantly going. And when someone pays for that, they pay one time and they're in forever, until they get that promise, which means I'm just walking with them, making sure that they get that promise of the investment back, which is five times their money, right? So it's kind of a membership because they continue to come back as many times as they want to. There's always new up-leveling of the program, but it's not like a regular monthly thing where they're paying me recurringly. And I don't add things into a membership area like, here's a new training. So the membership part of it that I would look at is I'm there every single week, basically. And you can come in and we can have a discussion and we have a brainstorming session. So that's the kind of the membership piece of it, but they're not paying as a membership.
Okay. So Joey, we're chatting beta launches today and launching with email funnels and keeping things really simple, because I see a lot of people who, you know, they come into this world, they want to beta launch their program. They've got no idea where to start in building out a funnel. And for a lot of people, they don't even know what a funnel is. So if you were chatting to someone inside of your program who's starting from scratch, they want a beta launch, they've got no audience, can you outline for us what steps you would take just to keep things really simple?
Just as a preface to this, like, I'm not against automations. I'm an automation geek. I love it so much. I love piecing things together. But the people that come into my world, they're overwhelmed with it and they think that that's what's needed. And what I did was I ripped out, or I didn't rip it out. I just stopped all the funnel or the major automations that I was doing to try and make things work and focused on the relationship building, which means that I needed to be very simple in the communication or quote unquote email marketing launch beta type of thing. So I just want to put this in the context of what we're talking about here, which will make sense as we go through. So there's a couple of ways we can look at this. I think the context first comes down to the person themselves on where they're going to show up to build the relationships. So we can look at this two ways, whether it's paid to get in front of audiences or not. At the beginning of the process, I'm always about not. It's a slower process, but a lot of us don't have the time and money to put into cold launches and all these other things. And that's where the funnels have to come in and all these other things. So that's really overwhelming. So you're going to put time in somewhere. And I believe it's always about putting in time into building the relationships. Now, a beta launch in my world is not a $97 launch. It is a $500 and over launch. And even $500 to me is a low launch. So let's put that into context. That means if you're following my lead, it would be you don't need very many people to make a five-figure launch or even a four-figure launch. Like if you want to make $5,000, it's not really that difficult. Five people at $1,000, right? And that might freak a lot of people out who are starting, which it used to me as well. But this goes to the relationship piece of it. We can talk about that secondly, because I want to go back to the original question, which is you need to hang out in places where people are, where your dream clients are, in order to showcase your talents so that they reach out to you and you can build a container for them. For me personally, the way that I do it is basically I move them into my own Facebook group. Now, I don't have the Facebook group as a, okay, once they're in, let me start bombarding them with sales. That's not the key. And it doesn't mean that I never offer anything, but it's rare, but it's there to showcase what I'm talking about. It's like, let me help you. Let me ask questions. So that would be how I'm building that container. When people get into my Facebook group, one of the things I ask is, can I have your email? Because I want to gift you something, which is usually a live workshop with me. So they get an extra bonus. It's kind of like a one-on-one thing. So they truly do get a gift, but I'm building my email list at the same time.
My question is, how do you get people initially into the Facebook group? You know, because obviously we hate, you know, all those cold comments that come out of nowhere into your DM, some random person inviting you to their Facebook group. And you think, God, you know, I don't even know who you are. Now, how do you go about starting those conversations to even invite them into your Facebook group in the first place?
That's a really great question. And part of Atlas is what I teach this is, it's the invisible people that you're really gaining trust with. And this is the hardest part about it all, because I never cold email. I never go in and say, thank you for, you know, responding to my thread in Kajabi. I'd love to get to know more about you. I'd never do any of that stuff. And I'm totally against that. What happens is, if you do it the right way, if you showcase your talent and actually go in and help people, go figure, and not expect anything from it, then I promise you, and you either have to believe me or you don't, that the invisible clients, which I call them dream clients in training, they're always watching you. And those are the people that are looking at what's happening in the thread. So let's say you and I were conversing over a thread in Kajabi or something, and I'm helping you or I'm answering your questions, it's probably not you who's going to reach out to me. And that's the mistake, because then, you know, other organic marketers might suggest, well, reach out to Meg now, that because she's warm to you, she knows you. And that would probably get under your skin. You know, it might work a couple of times, but more than likely, it's going to be like, I didn't ask you to DM me. So I don't do that. It's when someone else, let's call her Kim, reaches out and looks at our conversation and said, I love what you and Meg were talking about. It's kind of along the same lines. And, you know, I'd just love to talk to you. Or that's just the conversation. It just opens the conversation. That's how it happens. So it's not a great concrete strategy to say, this is exactly what's going to happen. If I spend 2 hours in here, I'm going to gain 10 people on my list. So I'm just a big believer of abundance of giving, so that the right people see that that's what I'm truly about. And then they reach out on their own. And that's how they move from a chat, let's say, into my Facebook group. And by the way, I don't invite everybody in that chat to my Facebook group, because I'm all about curation, which makes everything easier at the back end. The more I focus on who's the right person at the beginning and make it harder for them to get into my world, the easier it is for me to offer them later because they've been curated.
I love it. So if somebody's starting like from scratch and they think, okay, I'm going to go and create myself a Facebook group, create myself a container and grow my audience in there ahead of my beta launch, how much time do they need to give themselves to get enough people into that container?
That's a really good question too. And there's no standard answer for it, but I would start with 3 months. I would say that a 3 month window of you constantly going in and helping would begin to be build that container. That doesn't only mean that you're in groups or something. And by the way, you can't be in multiple groups. That's another thing I figured out was just focus on one or two. That's it. Like be truly helpful because what happens is you become an authority in the group. People get to recognize you. And then the other thing is too, is if you're all over the place, nobody knows what you do. And that was a big mistake of mine too, because you're probably the same thing. We have a lot of skills and we can talk about a lot of things. So we become the jack of all trades and people like, that's fantastic. Thank you for your help. And then nothing was really happening. Nothing was growing because nobody really knew how I could help them. Once I focused in on this is what I absolutely do and only focus in on those conversations, the right people looking for that help were like, well, you really know what you're talking about. I think I need to speak to you. And so it took around 3 months for me to really start getting any traction there. And so I continuously do that. And then just so your listeners understand this, this is not something that you see like multiple leads coming in every single day. If that's what you're expecting, this is not going to work. That's where you might want to go to a paid and figure out something there, which we could still talk about being cool and rather than, you know, bringing somebody in and trying to force them to buy something. That's cool too, if you want to try that. But I find it a lot easier to just do it this way because that's my superpower is just talking, helping people and showcasing what I can do without selling anything. So it's about 3 months.
About 3 months. Okay. So we get them into the group and then we offer them some kind of valuable gift. And in return, they give us their email address.
Yes.
Where do you take it from there?
Serving. They go on my email list and I serve in both places. So I show up in my Facebook group every single day. And at the beginning of it, it's not going to be very engaging because it's only you. So I would encourage you to get maybe a friend like Meg to come in and go between each other. Like I'll ask a question and you answer it or you like it. Or then you ask a question the next day and I'll answer that. And for the 2-3 months or whatever, or 2 months, it's only you and me. But people are watching that again. It's the people watching going, oh, this is kind of cool. This is not all about them selling something. It's they're really helping each other or they're giving value. And then you just repurpose that stuff in your email as well. So because not everybody is looking in the Facebook group every day and same thing as email. So where can you show up the most to give the most value and then repurpose that time to put it into an email or vice versa?
That is an excellent strategy because, you know, something else I think of is, well, how nervous my students get when it comes to actually writing email copy. Like, what am I going to write about? I'm not a copywriter. You know, it's the writing the emails ahead of a launch is the bit that takes everybody the longest amount of time. They procrastinate for weeks about writing those email sequences. But if you can repurpose, you know, information that you're putting into your Facebook group, then I think that's an excellent strategy.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the times, a lot of my content, right, comes from answering questions. And this is important because I think that everyone listening to this, in my opinion, it's you need to be doing something that you are really experienced at and you know it in your sleep. It's not just something that's like, oh, well, let me try this thing or I'm going through the same thing. You have to have that experience because then you can naturally just go into any conversation without any prep notes or anything like this. Like today, there's no prep notes I have. You can ask me anything you want about beta launches and all these things, and I'm pretty sure I've got the answer. And because I do it every single day. And so the way that I respond, here's another tip, is every time I'm responding, as you know, you can tell by I haven't shut up yet since we talked, so I talk a lot and I write a lot. I write a book. Like I'm basically writing a 350 word or 700 word response. It would be crazy for me to just post that and forget about it. So there's a process in my system. So when I write a post or response to you, I copy it and I put it into my database, to my Notion database. So I always have data and it's tagged. So if it's talking about a beta launch or an email beta launch, I'm like, let me look for it. I know what your question is and I know what I've answered and I can easily take that and talk about that in an email. Here's how you do a beta launch in an email or something.
So if you're posting in your Facebook group every single day, are you emailing your list every single day?
No, and I'm not posting in my group every day. It's not that. At the beginning of it, it was a little bit more where I'm posting, where I'm just adding value, even if it's just a quote. Like, I love this quote. It gets so easy to create content. Like, honestly, for me, look at the books behind me. I can pick any one of those books, take a passage and go, this really resonates with me. What about you? Like, it's so easy to do these kind of things. And then the group takes over. But when it comes to emailing, it's at least twice a week, and if not three. So I'm trying to be in front of them all the time, but not overly in front of them. But they need to see that I'm giving them value, which comes to the easy beta launch, which I'm sure we'll talk about through the email.
All right. So the beta launch is coming up. We're touching base with our list a couple of times a week. Is there any set structure that you're following ahead of this launch coming up?
If you're familiar with the product launch formula, something like that, no, I don't do that. What I do is, it's pretty simple. Everything I just told you now is all about the thing that I could teach them, right? So the emails are all geared around that, and it's kind of warming them up. Around 3 weeks before my launch, then I'm using a, by the way, this is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's always related to the email itself. It's not a specific beta or launch email. It's always relevant. It's always relevant to what's happening in my world. Now, are there some that I might repeat? Sure, because that was a really great email and I might use that. But remember, this is a live launch for me. It's not a sequence that is automated. They don't go into an automated sequence. It's always done from the broadcast type of emails. So I'm always talking about what's relevant to the market at that point. And then it's more of a, by the way, if you liked what I just talked about up there, I'm having a cohort coming up that kind of relates to whatever I talked about in the email. And that's how I do it. There's really no sequence structure to it, except that I'm going to start introducing the idea that it's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then all I ask for is, if you want to know more about this, let me know. And that's what they do. Then that goes into a conversation.
You ask them to just hit reply and let you know, or do you encourage them to go and jump on a wait list?
They don't go on a wait list.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't go on a wait list.
Any reason you wouldn't put them on a wait list?
Because I'm curating them. Because I, again, want the right people in my group, and I want responses, and I want people who are ready and able to move ahead. A wait list is just like, yeah, just let me know I'm kind of interested. And it doesn't mean that every single person replying to me is going to buy or move on, but it's more of an engaging conversation, because in those conversations, they sell themselves. It's how that conversation happens. And so, again, because I'm doing $1,000 launch or whatever, $1,000 a person, I only need 10 people if I want to make $10,000, right? I don't need a lot of people on a waiting list to go to a webinar and a launch series. Again, there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But for me, it's just like, I'm just going to do what I do every day. Go help in a group, go to my Facebook group, help there, take some of that information, email every single week, and then put a little bit of a PS. By the way, I'm doing this thing. Anybody want to talk to me, let me know. That's it. So my brain is continuously focused on help, 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 offer a little bit. And then when the email comes in, it's like, yeah, here's some questions. Let me ask you and have a conversation.
I love it.
So it's pretty simple in my world.
It is so simple. Okay. So with any luck, you get your 10 people. They just hit reply and say, yes, Joey, sounds perfect. Like, tell me more. And you have that one-on-one dialogue with them and then invite them to enroll when it's ready.
That's right.
If you don't hit the numbers of people clicking reply and opening the dialogue, do you, inside of a beta launch, still go into your full-blown sales email sequence?
There is no sales sequence. Like, there's no sales sequence. That's the whole point of this. What I think you're asking me is, what if you don't get enough people in the launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the answer is, I still go through.
Only three people have opened the dialogue and you think, oh, can't run my 8-week program for three people.
I do. At the beginning of the beta program, it's not about making money. It's about learning if your beta is validated and you're actually gaining from them being there with you. So I look at this always as abundance. Like, okay, these three people now are going to tell me exactly what I'm missing, am I not communicating something right? All these things. So it helps me be clearer in my marketing messages later on. I can't tell you how many times I've updated my sales doc, my Google doc. That's how I basically sell it. And because of all the conversations that come through or the questions that come through, I'm like, this is brilliant. This is what I got to put in. And that Google doc sells a $3,500 program. It's a Google doc, Megan. There's no sales page or anything else like that. So think about that. And all that language came from the conversations inside the beta, whether it was with three people or 30. The lower the group, the better, because they feel connected and feel heard. They just feel more connected to you.
With a beta, do you create your program as you go along? Or, you know, because a lot of my students are perfectionists and they would feel really nervous about not having the program ready to go when they open the doors to sell it. So they try and pre-record and edit and make perfect all their module content. Whereas I'm sort of more from the train of thought that I'll just create it 1 week at a time and we'll just keep, you know, just two steps ahead of the students and that'll be fine. So what's your approach?
Yeah, I'm with your approach, which maybe 2 weeks, I might have some kind of the slides ready to go, but definitely some kind of an idea or a mind map of an idea. But here's the biggest part. At the beginning of the beta, and it's still even to this day, I'm not sure if it's on there because this is my 9th round of doing them. But I think for the very first ones, definitely there was a paragraph in there that says, this is a beta. And what this means is I have no idea how this is going to run. This is how I think what I'm going to teach you. And by the way, there's no detail on what I'm going to teach. It's more about, I'm going to show you the message navigator. I'm going to talk about the Dream Client DNA, which helps you do this. It just gives you the tools. It doesn't tell you module one is going to be here. Module two is this. I don't do any of that. So I'm basically forewarning everybody, A, this is probably going to break. There's going to be many things that are not working in the system, in the emails, all these things. This is a beta for a reason because you're here to help me design this. And it's only for those type of people who can handle this type of thing. So I'm very upfront with everything I do so that I can release that pressure of trying to be perfect and something to say, well, I didn't sign up for this. Where's the fancy slides? Where's all this? Or I didn't get your email or the link was broken or whatever. I'm like, you know that this was the way it was going to go. I can't tell you how many times, Meg, I've put out, like, next week I'm going to talk about this. And then the next week comes in, I'm like, you know what? I was doing the slides and I thought this is not the right one to put in. So here's what we're going to talk about today. Nobody in the last 3 years has ever said, you duped me. You screwed me. This is not what I signed up for. They were happy that I was adjusting things as I went.
I love that because I think it goes a long way to relieving the pressure that people put on themselves, you know, or I can't launch this until it's perfect. And of course, we know it's never going to be perfect. But the amount of pressure that you put on yourself the first time you launch a course, it's crazy.
Yeah. And the one thing I learned from Dan Sullivan was that, first of all, our 80% is someone else's 100%. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, and this wasn't from Dan, this is from another, I learned this one from, but it was about the beta, which is that every time you put out a beta or you're doing a program, even if you've been doing things for 25 years as a practitioner or something, because I get that a lot too, this has worked for 25 years. I'm like, it doesn't matter because everything is an assumption. Even if you don't think it is, everything that you put in a slide or your outline is an assumption. And the reason for the beta is to validate that assumption. And I guarantee you that you're probably missing something or the way that you're teaching it doesn't translate well enough. So they're going to ask you questions. And that's why I love betas, because I'm thinking, here's what they need to know. And you know, as well as me, and I'm sure every one of your students, is that they're an expert and we forget the basics sometimes. We think that people already know that, but sometimes they don't know it. And they're asking clarity questions like, huh, they should have known that. But then you put it in and your program becomes closer to being perfect, but it will never be perfect. Mm-hmm. But if you go in with the assumption that, or actually the knowledge of that it is an assumption of what you're teaching that needs to be validated, it's so much easier.
How do you go about pricing your beta, Joey? You know, would you be a fan of a big discount for the first round, or would you prefer to just charge what you feel the program's worth and perhaps they're invited to come back for the next round as well?
all beta users get a founder's price. So, but I don't use discounts. I use gifts. So the first thing you have to do is, what is it worth? Like, what is it truly worth to someone? You need to have that price first. So I just told you that Atlas is $3,500, right? At the beginning of it, I still said, like, that was 3 years ago. I said, this is going to be $3,500. And the first beta round users were in at $1,000. And here's the other part of it. Every single time that the beta was launched, it went up. So they know that this is truly a one-time price. I don't mess around. Everybody in my world knows that when I say something, it's for real. There's no catching bait and switch and all these other things. There's no trickery. It's like, this is going up and this is the price you're going to get. You get rewarded for that.
I think that's good. And I think it can be tricky, I think, to put your prices up, especially if you do say, well, I'm going to put the prices up. The price will go up with every beta. In your case, you started at 1,000. If you didn't get the numbers the first time, when it comes to the second time to launch the beta, you can feel a little bit uneasy about putting the prices up.
Yeah, well, that means that you don't have things nailed. Like, this is the hardest part for me to talk about, even in my group, because we talk about this all the time. And they're like, well, nobody wanted it or nobody paid for it or whatever. And I say, well, everything that goes wrong in our business, unfortunately, is our fault. And it's very hard to swallow. So you're not talking to the right audience. You don't have the right offer. You haven't done enough research on the thing. Like, all these things, it's not just about, like, this is a great topic that people are talking about, let me go do this. You just haven't nailed it yet. And that means you got to go back to the market. So that's a tough one. And it's a tough one to swallow. Let me talk about the going up every time. Like, that's kind of the plan. It didn't mean, like, there was, I think, two times, Meg, where I didn't raise the price from one cohort to the next. Or, yeah, there's one time I didn't do it because it was during, like, well, the pandemic was majorly happening. I think it was in the January of whatever it was of 2021, I think it was. So I didn't raise the price then, but normally it would just go up. And here's the other thing too. To your point, you will begin to get less people coming in as the price goes up. That's just the way it is. But that's the reason why I'm totally a fan of premium pricing. So imagine at $1,500, if I got X amount of people, whatever the math is, and let's say whatever, there's 10 people there, and then it's $3,500, but I only got 5 people. I don't know if the math really works out, but you get where I'm going with this, right? I'm making the same amount of money and I only need people over here.
Yeah. What's the perfect number of people for you, Joey, inside one of your programs?
20.
Okay. Even in my own programs, I sort of think, geez, I'm never going to have a kind of program that's got 300 plus students in it, because, you know, I would hate not to be able to help everyone on that individual basis.
Yeah, 20 to 30 is probably like the range. Like, if I had 25 people, I wouldn't say, yeah, I'm not going to take another 5. But when it gets over like 30, 40 people, I don't want 50 people in my group.
Yeah.
Even though it's great money and all this, like you said, I just cannot handle that many conversations, because everybody, it's not that everybody wants to get on their spotlight seat or have a time, you know, with a one-on-one, but you have to have it open for them. Mm. And they don't want to feel like they're in this void.
Yeah. For those people who are sort of thinking, oh, look, I don't have time in my life to go and run a live program. I'm just going to create something that's evergreen. And, you know, I'll follow everything that Joey's saying, but I'm not going to turn up live to teach it. You know, I'll grow my audience. I'll create my container. And then I'm going to release my all year round evergreen program and people will just join. Any words of wisdom there?
It didn't work for me. Like, I mean, I believe that the way the world is going with online is experiential programs. And we've been sold the fact that evergreen is great, which is, it is. There's certain pieces where we can turn evergreen eventually, but because of how much we are disconnected now with everything going on, and it's getting even worse, the human element is so important. And that's why I believe, and I've proven it to myself and everybody that's in Atlas over the last 3 years, is that if you're going to show up and do like a Q&A call anyway, let's say, is sometimes they build that in. It's like, here's 4 weeks and I'll show up twice a week and answer questions. Why not just do it every single week, or just do it the 2 weeks live and show up and serve those people? And you can still have the evergreen component, because I do have that. I still have like a Monday evergreen component, but that came in after version 5 because I wanted to make sure that everything was right. And that's the other part of it, because I found that when I was doing it before, Meg, is that I was creating things and then put it out, and then I would get feedback or I'd learn something new or something, and I was just too lazy to go back and re-record the dang thing again. I'm like, it's good enough. Leave it. And it never really transformed anybody. I can tell you that every single time I do these, which I just love them so much because the people are great, that I'm learning so much. And it helps me always kind of recreate. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's just tweaking the next piece of it. Oh, that's a really good way I answered that question about this. Let me add that in. So the next time it's going to be even better. And that only makes the next people coming in even happier. So to me, it's all about showing up and serving, which is the reason why your prices need to be higher, because you need to leverage your time. And if you're focused there and you're, you know, selling a lower priced piece over here in Evergreen and launches and automation, great, that might work. But I find that everybody in Atlas has tried that. That's basically where they're coming from. They've all tried that one and it didn't work. And they're like, I can't believe how easy this one is.
I had an email through yesterday, actually, from a lady who I think I better send in your direction, because she reached out to me and she said, look, I haven't been able to sell this course at all. You know, like I have not monetized it at all. I'm about to give up. I've put $100,000 into coaches and sales copy and got social media people and all the things, and this program is not selling. And I went and, you know, I asked her for the link and I went to have a look at the page, and, you know, it's positioned as a 6-week program, but it's 6 weeks of self-study with no live element. Start right now, $297. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry to tell you, but I don't think that that's going to sell. You know, I think maybe one day an evergreen version could eventually sell. But when you're just starting out, I would highly encourage you to go back and think about running this live.
100%. Remember, I don't know if you've read Russell Brunson's book. Years ago, he was talking about like when webinars, I think, I'm not really sure if webinars are still really that popular, but when they really were, one of the shakeups that the industry was looking at, or everybody reading it, he said, you have to do like basically a year of webinars live before you put it on Evergreen. That shook the whole industry up to like, what? I got to show up live and do the webinars? Mm. So it's the same thing here. And I can tell you that I've had handfuls of people in Atlas tell me there's no way I would have bought this had you not been in here. Because here's maybe the mindset shift that everyone needs to hear. People are not buying my program. They're not buying the group program. They're not buying how to email or how to talk to people and how to sell. They're buying my insight and guidance specifically for them. That's what they're buying. So yes, it's kind of coaching and everything, but they're buying the methodology. They're buying, how does Joey do this? But I could easily put that into an evergreen, but they would not complete it. I promise you that. And you know as well as I do, how many times have you seen people or the stats say, well, people only go to module 2 and they never finish the course. Well, there's a reason, because they're not guided enough. They don't know, and they're bombarded with every program trying to promise them the same thing. Whereas when you go in because of your brilliance, experience, knowledge, expertise, all of that, and sit with them and train them on something and say, what are your questions about this? Where can I help you? Where are you stuck on these things? You tell me something, I'm like, okay. And I get you out of the weeds like right away on that call live, everything changes for you. And that's the power of this. So you're willing to pay for that, right? You're paying for someone's guidance. That's what masterminds in marketing or like big coaches are all about. You're paying for the coach for their guidance. It's the same as if you went to go pay Tony Robbins on how to sleep better or how to get out of productivity. You're paying Tony Robbins for his 40 years of brilliance. And that's what people are paying you for.
I think you're spot on, Joey. And I think that is a reality check that a lot of people need to hear, because we are sold this idea that we're just going to go and create these evergreen courses that will generate passive income while we're sleeping. And so many people in this industry just don't want to put in the effort and the time to go and deliver a live program. And then they're surprised why it's not selling.
Right. It's where do you want to spend your time? And I think that this also translates into one other point here, Meg, this is so important. That I believe that we need to focus on one thing and one business, one area, at least until you get to $1 million. That's it. And this is all you live and breathe and talk about. The more you do that, and it has to be your superpower, by the way, too, something that this is easy for me. And if you do that, not only do you get known for that because that's all you talk about, it's like you talk about it every single day. And it lights you up because it's part of who you are. Like all the stuff we're talking about here, I could talk about, as you can tell, 24/7 about this stuff. And you can ask me anything and I'll come at it from all kinds of different angles and perspectives in order for you to push through to the breakthrough. Does that make sense? So if you don't get something, I'll come at it from another angle. So it does get you through the next phase. If it was something that I was just trying to make money at or like, whatever, how many times am I going to repeat myself here and it would drain my batteries? That's not good. So I understand if someone is just like, I'll just do this because I can, you know, and that's probably not your audience, but I've met a lot of people like this and they're like, I'm just going to set it and forget it and make a whole bunch of money because that's what they said. I can make money while I'm sleeping. But that's kind of true if you want it, but you're dealing with all the other back ends, the refunds or this and that. Anyway, that's a whole other rabbit hole we can go down. But
Joey, I could keep you here all day asking you questions on this stuff. You clearly know so much about it. And I think for a lot of people out there listening, it doesn't matter how many questions I ask you on this, there's going to be more to ask. So for those people who are they're resonating with everything that you are saying, how do I tell them to make contact with you if they're interested in learning more about Atlas?
Well, we can give them my email address or we can invite them to the Facebook group, whatever is good for you. My email address.
All right.
Can I give that?
Yeah, we can give your email address. You want to give it right now or shall I put it in the show notes?
Yeah, you can put it in the show notes and I'll give you a link to my Facebook group and they can join there and hang around in my universe and ask there if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Joey, for coming in and just pulling back the curtains on what it takes to have a successful beta launch. And I guess putting in perspective for us what successful actually means. You know, none of these crazy numbers. And I had 100 people through my first launch and six-figure launches straight off the bat, because I think the non-rose-tinted approach is so much better for people who are just getting started.
Thank you, Meg. I really appreciate this opportunity and just sharing my knowledge, because really, I just want to stop people from sacrificing their life. That's what happens a lot of times, is they're trying to build this thing out and looking at other people's sandboxes and playing in their sandbox when you really don't need to. You can just create something that is built around your life first, and it doesn't need to be a lot of numbers. Make it simple and then grow later, but simplify first. And even if it's one or two people, it's all good.
Brilliant. Thank you, Joey. We will have you back anytime you'd like to grace us with your presence. I will get you back in for another episode.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joey. I hope you've enjoyed our podcast episode on beta launching as a simplified strategy for enrolling students into the first or next cohort of your online program, and all without the overwhelm of overly complex funnels. If you'd like to learn more about Joey and his Atlas program, I'll put some links in the notes below. And if you'd like to join us for a live mini Atlas masterclass with Joey, why not join us over inside of Funnel Club?